Sound tinny to you? Does this sound tinny? The microphone sounds tinny. Well, just stick with it. Kids, you may ask, great. Take your Bible with me, please. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 in your Bible. A message tonight, I'm continuing on my series, Pathological, things that are infective in our lives that can cause us a lot of problems. Many of these things are something that are changeable. One thing that I understand and have recognized in my own life, that the first place I look at if I'm having a problem or a difficulty or negativity, the first place I need to look is to myself. A long time ago, I recognized that it's not up to other people to make me happy, nor is it up to other people to change me, nor is it my responsibility. Remember, we preached a few weeks ago on control. Nor is my responsibility to change other people, okay? I am in charge of, first of all, working on myself and changing things about myself. So if I'm not happy, I need to figure out why I am not happy, and then I need to change those things about myself. Someone said, well, Pastor Monty, that means change your circumstances. No, it does not always mean change your circumstance. There's a funny thing that goes around, an anecdote, I should say, that goes around among preachers. They say the preachers are excited every Sunday morning when they get up and come to church and they preach, and then by Monday morning, they're writing out their resignation. That's kind of anecdotal among preachers. By the way, I don't do that. My resignation is on file. It's already... No, I'm just kidding. I'm just joking about that. I don't do that, okay? But some preachers really struggle. They go through a difficult time, and they think that a change in circumstance is going to make the difference for them. I remember knowing a pastor that in the space of 10 years pastored 14 different churches. What? Pastor Monty, God must have been leading him. I don't think so. I don't even think the children of Israel moved 14 different times. I'm not sure about that, but I'd have to check my Bible on that. That is not the case. Sometimes the things that are wrong with us, we can fix ourselves. And tonight, our installment on our series of Pathological, I'm going to speak on the topic of pessimism. Pessimism. Now, not just negativity. And by the way, when I speak on this topic, not just being real or reality. Someone will argue, they'll say, well, Pastor Monty, I'm not an optimist. I am a realist. And that means I think everything is horrible. That's not realism. That's pessimism. Now, there is a biblical principle that if I learn to consistently apply it in my life, it will change my outlook on life. Pessimism or optimism, they are polar opposites. Those two things are really perspectives, how we view life. And I can make a choice every day of my life to view it a certain way, either optimistically or pessimistically. Your Bible's open to Romans chapter 8, that very familiar verse, and I referenced it this morning in our message on the hopeful faith. Romans chapter 8, verse 28, the Bible says this, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Every person in this room probably knows that verse. You've probably quoted it to yourself when something bad happened in your life. You probably tried to talk yourself into feeling better about a negative circumstance. Look at the verse again. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, here's what I'll do tonight, the message. I'm going this evening to cover some things regarding pessimism. And then, as we have time this evening, I'm going to break down that verse and tell you what it actually means, what it actually means. Pessimism, defined, is an outlook on life and events, a perspective. It is something, by the way, that can be modified. Now, everybody look this way. A lot of people will say something like this. Well, Pastor Monty, I can't help it. It's just my personality. You can help it. There are certain aspects of your personality that you cannot change. But there are perspectives and ways of viewing things that you can change. Your perspective comes from patterns of thinking, patterns that are oftentimes deeply ingrained, so much so they become part of our persona, and yet those patterns are changeable when we conform them to the Scripture. What does the Bible say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Now listen to this. But be ye transformed, how? By the renewing of your mind. And honestly, as Christians, we walk through this world, we need to constantly be renewing our mind, changing our perspective, getting a better outlook. If we adopt a pessimistic perspective, it is like poison to the people around us, and ultimately, it poisons our own life. The pessimism that we talk about, and of course, the most common way to describe it is some people view the glass as half full, and some people view the glass as half empty, okay? Either way, it's half. That's reality. But it is perspective. Am I whining about the fact that my glass is only half filled, or am I thankful for the half that is filled and thrilled to have what I have? It doesn't change the amount of water in the glass, but the perspective makes all the difference in the world in regard to my attitude. So what is a good definition of pessimism? Pessimism is the outlook that things will go awry and that individual desires and goals are not likely to be met. That is pessimism. The outlook, the view, the perspective that things are going to go awry, or a negative perspective on things as they happen. It is the person who constantly goes through life looking for the other shoe to fall, or expecting something horrible or bad or negative to take place. Pessimism, frankly, is equivalent to the absence of hope. Now, this morning, I talked about faith. And I talked about a hopeful faith. And remember in the Bible, we said that the word hope means an absolute certainty, right? That's the idea behind the word hope, is an absolute certainty. For a pessimistic person, they have a chronic absence of hope. They're never hopeful for something to turn out better than they had imagined. They're always on guard for something to turn out worse than they had imagined. And you know what's funny about pessimism? Pessimism is a lot like intuition. Intuition is when I think I can read between the lines. When I read into something that people say or do, or I read an attitude. Intuition is reading between the lines. By the way, I'm an intuitive person, and it can get me in a lot of trouble, both mentally and with other people. Intuition is correct just enough to keep me doing it. So is pessimism. For the person who is pessimistic, things may turn out better than they expected. They ignore that. But when something turns out as bad or worse than they had imagined, it cements that pessimism in their mind. And that pessimism becomes an outlook. It becomes a perspective that they take into life. Okay, someone will say, well, Pastor Monty, I'm not sure if I'm pessimistic or not, but I really doubt this sermon's going to help me. Okay, bingo, you're pessimistic. But let me, to help you with this, let me give you some symptoms of pessimism, if I may. Then we're going to break down the scripture in a moment. Some symptoms. How do you know if you're a pessimistic person? A pessimistic person constantly sees the dark side of everything. They don't look for the silver lining, but they certainly know about the cloud. Everything has something dark about it, even the best of offers or the best of things that will happen. Have you ever been with someone who... An unsaved person, of course, who dreams about winning the lottery. Ever been with something like that? People say, you know, I'd love to win the lottery. By the way, if you do, the tithe is 20%. Okay, that's where we're going to start with that one, okay? And you'll be immediately forgiven, okay? I promise you that. Well, there you go, and you're good. But have you ever heard someone say, I don't want to win the lottery. I'd have to pay all those taxes. How many have ever heard anyone say that? Well, that's pessimistic. Do the math, buddy, and win the lottery, and then give your 20% to the church. Constantly seeing the dark side of something. A pessimistic person focuses on the negatives of every situation. I want you to really think about this. Now, think with me. The negatives of every situation. Let me ask you a question. Since the Garden of Eden, when man fell, do we live in a perfect world, yes or no? Is there a dark side to everything, yes or no? Yes, in a broken world there is. Is there a dark side to every person, yes or no? Yes, in a broken world there is, okay? But Though the world is broken, there is enough good that if we learn to focus on the good and not the broken, it would change our perspective. You see, I can focus on, I'm sort of a pastor. By the way, this time of year, it's really hard to keep the auditorium comfortable. It was warm outside, and then when I came in here, it felt muggy, and I turned the fans on to make it cooler. Are you comfortable? Oh, Robbie, just stop, okay? Reasonably comfortable. It's really hard to do that. And we could fixate on the temperature in the auditorium, or we could say this: thank God we have a beautiful auditorium where we have heat and air conditioning. Thank God we have comfortable padded pews. How many remember before these pews had back pads on them? Do you remember? The old timers remember that. The back killer pews. We were going to get new pews for this auditorium. This goes back years ago. We're going to get new pews for the auditorium. And I knew we needed to cover the seats of them, but I wasn't so sure, well, why do we have to put padding on the back? Then I sat in them for a sermon one time. Now, these people are suffering for Jesus, and so we put the padding on the back. But you can look at the, here's what I'm suggesting to you. You can focus your whole life looking at what is bad and completely miss what is good, and that is pessimism. Pessimism looks at a person and says, this person is not what he ought to be, and you pick apart everything negative about him. In reality, there are huge good things, but you're not seeing those things because you are pessimistic. Does everyone follow me? Another symptom of pessimism is this. It is a criticism of the good things and good circumstances. Something good happens, but immediately the pessimist says, this is too good to be true. Or there's got to be a downside to this. Why does there always have to be a downside? Well, because, Pastor Bonnie, I am a realist. I was years and years and years ago when I was in college, I was in New York City. We were doing some evangelistic work. We were passing out gospel tracts on the street. And people in New York City are really, they're not as unfriendly as you would think. They're not horrible people. And I'm passing out tracts on the street, and I stopped. There was a nicely dressed businessman stopping on the street. I said, sir, I said, hello, I'd like to give this to you. And he looked at me and he said, young man, the word hello is the most expensive word in the English language. What? Do you know what that meant? He didn't want to meet anyone for fear that they wanted his money. Do you see how pessimistic that would be? What a pessimistic outlook. You would criticize something good or read into things and think that people have an ulterior motive. It is fear. A symptom of pessimism is fear of the other shoe falling. You can't accept something as just being good. You have to pick it apart or imagine something bad happening. It is believing that everything is too good to be true. Everything. That there's nothing good in life. Now, folks, while there are a lot of negatives in life, there are also a lot of positives. No one in this room is starving. No one in this room, so far as we know, has the coronavirus. No one has that, okay? No one in this room is about to lose everything they own, okay? We don't know of anyone. If you are, you come talk to me. Pastor Wall has money. He'll be happy to lend you some. The honest truth of the matter is the pessimistic person believes that everything is too good to be true. A pessimist is always looking for something sinister, for hidden agendas in the hearts of others. A pessimist is always predicting negative results. Now, everyone look this way. Let us be realistic for a moment. Do negative things happen? Yes or no? Sometimes do the best laid plans of mice and men fall apart, yes or no? But if I approach everything in life by predicting its demise, I will hinder myself from accomplishing anything. Optimistic people naturally accomplish more because they have a big vision for what could be in the positive category, not what might be in the negative category. People who are pessimistic predict negative results on everything. People who are pessimistic often pretend to be wise because they consistently make predictions that sometimes come true. Ah, well, Pastor Monty, I could have told you that years ago. Look at me. Then why didn't you? It would have been so helpful if you would have told me years ago. But pessimistic people pretend they're wise because they're cashing in on negativity. Now, when I talk about this, I'm not suggesting that you be Pollyanna. That means so optimistic that you can't see straight, go through life with rose-colored glasses on. I'm not suggesting that. But I am saying don't pretend to be wise just because you negatively predict everything and occasionally those things come to pass. And lastly, a symptom of pessimism is this. You're no fun to be with. You're no fun to be with. You say, Pastor Monty, why are they no fun to be with? Because everything's a downer, okay? Everything's a downer. Those are symptoms of pessimism. Where does this come from? Remember, this is not something genetic, nor is it something inbred in someone's personality. The concept of pessimism is something that develops over time to become a persona for an individual, so that that individual's behavior and speech is actually fairly predictable. All of us are that way. We typically know how an individual is going to respond to something, whether they get angry very easily, or whether they're happy, whether they're sad or depressive. We kind of know that. With a pessimistic person, we have the same view, because we look at that person, we say, yeah, you know, everyone else is going to be for it, but he's going to be against it, or he's going to point out all the bad things. Now, by the way, when I say that, it is important to have people in your life who are willing to challenge you. Let me repeat that again. It is important to have people in your life who are willing to challenge you. I remember several years ago, probably now as many as 7 or 8 years ago, I was in a board meeting for another organization. And this organization was given an opportunity to take over a multi-multi-million-dollar organization in a different state. And we frankly did not have the money. I'm a pretty optimistic person most of the time. But we frankly did not have the money. However, someone, a millionaire, in another far distant state, had mentioned that he was going to give between $500,000 and $1 million if our organization would take this other organization. And so based on that, the board of directors, which I'm a member of the board of directors, we were discussing this back and forth, and I was thinking about the incredible burden of this other organization, and thinking that $500,000 to $1 million would not even begin to scratch the surface of the money needed for this other organization. We didn't have it yet. And so I said to the board members, everyone was excited, yeah, let's take that, and let's take the money the guy's giving us, we'll put it all together, and poof, we'll build the kingdom of God on earth. I was the lone voice against it. And I made the statement, I said, it'll be wonderful, but let's not count that money until we cash the check. It has been 8 years, probably 8 years, roughly 8 years. That check never came. Never came. Now, was that, well, Pastor Monty, you were just being negative. No, I think in that, I was being a bit realistic, okay? Being a bit realistic. So we want to be careful about how we do this. Now, causes of pessimism. What causes this? Number one, bad past experiences. That can really hold a person back, okay? Because a person who's had a bad past experience, he becomes pessimistic and he doesn't even want to try something new. He's afraid to jump in. Well, you know, Pastor Bonnie, I tried something new one time and it didn't turn out good, so I'm staying right here in my rut where everything happens that I'm comfortable with. Well, you've just limited yourself by pessimism. Why does it have to turn out badly? It could turn out well, but a pessimistic person is so afraid of failure, or they're so afraid of the negative consequences that they hold them back. They've learned by past experiences, and they've allowed past experiences to color their present. Now listen carefully. Past experiences can bring wisdom, but we should not let them limit our personal growth. When someone challenges us and says, hey, here's an opportunity, and you immediately turn it down because somewhere in the past you had a bad experience, that limits your growth. A cause of pessimism can be a bad past experience. Another cause of pessimism can be, frankly, you keep poor company. You keep poor company. You can be influenced to be pessimistic by being around pessimistic people. I don't like to be around pessimistic people. Now, when someone challenges me or presents a reality, and they do so in a way that says, hey, preacher, here's something you need to know about it. Let's figure out a way to overcome it. That is good. But when someone simply likes to wear the mantle of the prophet of doom. That wipes me out. Do you know why that wipes me out? Because of a verse of scripture I just read to you. And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now that's not a verse that says just you lack all rationale. But it is a verse that says God is going to help us through the challenges. There's not one page of the Bible, of any Bible story, where there's not a challenge presented. And that challenge presented is overcome by obedience to the Word of God and often by the power of God himself. If we keep company with people who are negative or are pessimistic about everything, who see the downside of everything, who only look at the dark underbelly of the situation, if that's who we keep company with, we're likely to gain that as a perspective of life. When we gain that as a perspective of life, it can not only hinder us, but it can hinder positive relationships. People who get into a pessimistic little group, they become great critics of everything good that happens. And we never want to go there. We don't want to be that. So causes can be bad past experiences, poor company. A third cause is something called limiting beliefs. Limiting beliefs. What is that? It is a false belief that a person acquires by making an incorrect conclusion. A false belief that a person acquires by making an incorrect conclusion. For example, I'll go back to my failure success paradigm. I have failed, and then they conclude, therefore I am a failure. Now, that is pessimism. When I fail at one thing, I label myself a failure at everything. That is wrong. Now, let me encourage you, parents and grandparents, don't look at that little toddler and say, little Johnny, this is America. You can be anything you want to be. Look at me. That is not true. Okay, because you don't know little Johnny's aptitudes and abilities. Well, Pastor Monty, if you dream hard enough, you could have been anything you wanted to be. I beg to differ. I could have dreamed till I was blue in the face, but I could never have been a concert pianist. Do you know why? That kind of ability is a lot of hard work, but a lot of gifting as well. I am not musically gifted. I could have dreamed. I could have visions and dreams because I am 6'4". I could have had visions and dreams that I could be a great NBA star. Can I tell you something? There's not one teacher in elementary school who lost 5 seconds thinking that that could be an NBA star. They took one look at my inability to dribble, and they said, why don't you go over there and play badminton with those other kids, okay? The truth of the matter is, you can't be anything you want, but I can find something at which I'm good, and I can excel at that. And so it might mean in life that I try and I fail. And I try and I fail, but I never, here's the limiting belief, I would never label myself a failure because I tried at one thing and therefore I'm a failure at all. I just have to find the right thing. Limiting beliefs is very much a cause of pessimism. People tell themselves these things and then they limit what they can do. They'll say something like this, well, you know, I could never do that. Well, could you really never? Now, there are certain things you could never do. I could never swim the English Channel. I would drown and then float to the other side, but I could never swim the English Channel. But could I really not sing a solo? I'm not a soloist at all, but I sing when I'm asked to, okay? Could I really not? I was in preaching in Wyoming Monday and Tuesday night, and on Monday night, I promised the congregation that myself and the assistant pastor would sing a duet. And I love the guy. His name is Jeremy, Pastor Jeremy Paradowski. And he looked at me real funny, and I said, you're going to sing with me. You know, there are some things you wish you hadn't done. But, you know, he was a good sport. That night, Tuesday night, I almost forgot about it. And then it dawned on me, and I said, we're singing. He said, what are we singing? I picked a song, and we got up and sang it. And you know what? Here's what I liked about him. He did it. He should never quit his day job, but he did it, and he didn't let, and it wasn't a failure, it was different. church approved of it. They liked it. They'll not ask him to do it again, but they liked it for that moment. I'm suggesting to you that you never tell yourself something that blanket statement over your entire life, a limiting belief, okay? There are some people who are pessimistic because of religious beliefs. Religious beliefs. What? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I've met them. Now, can I tell you something, folks? I believe in the coming Armageddon. How many believe in the coming Armageddon? If you believe the Bible, you better believe in it. I believe in the coming. I do not believe it's tomorrow, okay? There's a huge difference. Pastor Monty, this coronavirus, do you think that that is one of the plagues mentioned in the book of the Revelation? No, I don't. Let us be clear. It is the flu. It is a heightened form of the flu, but it is the flu, and we have mutations of these viruses. I personally think mutated by the Chinese on purpose for weaponry, but that's just my personal conspiratorial view. It is not Armageddon, but there are some people who adopt a religious view that makes them pessimistic. Can I say something? That's not scriptural. Do you know what my Bible says? The Bible says I'm an overcomer because I'm a Christian. And the Bible says that I have an opportunity to overcome this world. And the Bible says in the final analysis, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. And my religion is not negative. And my belief system is not pessimistic. Do I think the world is getting worse? Sure, I think the world is getting worse. Is it getting darker? Sure, it's getting darker. And the darker this world gets, the more opportunity there is to shine the light of the gospel in a very dark place. Ladies and gentlemen, I am not pessimistic. I'm optimistic about what God will do. By the way, do you know why I can say that? Because Jesus said, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth." So, understand, some people have a religious belief that makes them negative. Some people lack self-confidence. They tend toward failure, and then the failure tends toward pessimism. That could cause it. Some people use pessimism as a defense, self-defense against disappointment. Something good is about to happen. But right away, there's no way that could ever be true. And they do that so they're not disappointed. May I say there's a better approach to that than that? The better approach is this: keep your expectations low, and then life will be filled with pleasant surprises. So those are some of the causes. Pastor, what is the cure? I'm so glad you asked. Your Bible's open to Romans chapter 8. Look at verse 28 again. "And we know that all things work together for good, to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose." What is the cure? I think in a nutshell, it is a biblical view of God. It is a biblical view of God. Break it down. The Bible says that we know. That means we have confident assurance. This is an absolute fact for the Christian believer, what he's about to say. And we know, number one, that all things. Now, here's what we do. We categorize things as good and bad. And by the way, that's okay to do that because we have to live in this world and it's good to have categories. We say, this happened over here. I got a free dessert at Bob Evans. I don't know why you'd get one, but you did. That's good. They didn't cook my steak right. And why would you order a steak at Bob Evans? Yuck. That's bad. And we categorize things. Now watch this. The Bible says all things work together for good. So watch what I'm about to do. The good things, watch this, work together with the bad things. They mesh together to produce what? Good. Did everyone see that? The thing then that I view as bad is actually part of God's plan for ultimate good. Now, maybe not immediate good, but ultimate good. So when I look at a circumstance and I say, this circumstance is a very bad circumstance, I may be right in the immediate view of the circumstance. But in regard to Romans 8:28, I am not right because God says the bad circumstance and the good circumstance are working together for good. Does everyone see that? That is why, that is precisely why, I can be optimistic. He said, Pastor Monty, you know, what is going to happen if Bernie Sanders wins the election? Well, let's see, we're going to get free everything. Wouldn't that be awesome? I mean, free everything with nobody having to pay for anything? Wouldn't that be cool? Like, we could just all not work anymore. Wouldn't that be amazing? Bernie says that's possible. Bernie says that. He says he's and you get free education, and you get free health care, and you get free housing. John, you'd have free everything, wouldn't you? You'd have free everything. And Robbie, you'd be on easy street. You really would. And Hillman, it's too bad you're not an American citizen. You'd go back to South Korea and work this stuff out, but we're going to get it for free. No. What if there's some strange twist of fate? What if Bernie did win? Do you know what, Pastor Monty, could you be optimistic? Yes. Now, would I personally view that as a bad circumstance for the country? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I would. But ultimately, God works everything together for good to those who love him. Do you see this? It's not the immediate categorization of the thing that counts, but it's the ultimate result or the ultimate end. So all things, that means every circumstance, regardless of how I categorize it, good or bad, all things work together for good. Then look at the word work. What does it mean? It means mesh together. Individually, some things are not good. We mentioned that. But the good and the bad, they blend, resulting in good. When we allow, and here's the key, God to work, the bad turns to good. But you know what? The key word there is work. It is not instantaneous. It is a process that takes place over time. If I am to see the good ultimately, I have to be committed to the process now. Pastor Monty, I want everything to change, and I want to change it now. Good luck with that. That never works in life. But what does work in life is a process. And God takes the process of good and bad, and as he works that process, it will ultimately result in good. Have you ever had something happen in your life and you just scratch your head and wonder, what in the world? Like, how is this happening to me right now? What in the world? How many have had that? I have. Okay. Can I tell you something about that? I might not have an answer now, but I will one day. The Apostle Paul promises this. He says, but now we see through a glass darkly, then face to face. When I'm seeing through the glass darkly, it's murky. I can't understand. Why did God allow that? Well, what happened there? Well, look at that over there. What is all of this? I don't understand. All the pieces don't seem to fit together. But God says he'll take the good and the bad and put it to good. Now, there's a qualifier. I'm going to get to that. But he takes the good and the bad, and he works those things together. It is a process. You take good, you take bad, you stir it up. That's the working together. You stir it up, and it ends up being something good. The process is very desirable over time. God works all things together. The word together. Ultimate good requires that good and bad experience be blended together. And then the ultimate plan, the ultimate goal is what? It is for our good. That is the conclusion. Now, someone says, oh, Pastor Monty, that's a wonderful verse. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. But we want to focus on those words. We know all things work together for good. Now I need every eye up here. There is a qualifier. In other words, all things do not work together for good for everyone. The Bible doesn't say that. Now, this is where you need to listen carefully. Oh, Pastor Monty, there's a purpose for everything. It's all going to work out for good for everybody in the world. That is not what that verse teaches. That verse is this. All things work together for good. Notice the words. To them that love God. To them who are the called according to his purpose. The qualifiers, if I want to come under the umbrella of all things working together for good, I must meet the qualifications. And the qualifications of that verse are, number one, that I love God, that I love him. Number two, that I do his will. Pastor Monty, how are we going to find the will of God? Look at me. You will never find God's will in your feelings. Stop it. I'm very serious about that. I've seen more people get led astray by their feelings, and your preacher has followed down a road sometimes of feelings, feelings, feelings that is not right. My feelings are not a good guide. Did you hear what I just said? My feelings are not a good guide. You say, preacher, how do I know what the will of God is? Right here in this book. Right here in this book. Well, you know, Pastor Bonnie, I talked to a psychiatrist, and they said things that really go against the Bible. Did they really? Then throw the psychiatrist out the window. I hope you heard what I said. I hope I was clear about that. Well, Pastor Bonnie, you know, my best friend told me to do this, 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 and this. Is it in the Bible? Is it in the Bible? That's the question. See, if I want all things to work together for good in my life, then I have to love God and be committed to doing His will. And the only way I can know His will is if my nose is in the book. And rather than asking my feelings what to think, rather than asking some counselor who doesn't know the Bible what to think, I go to the book of God and I say, God, what do you think? And the moment I love Him, and the moment I've committed to doing His will, is the moment that I am placed under the safety umbrella of Romans 8:28. It is in that moment that I know that all things work together for good. Who? To whom? To those who love God, to those who are the called according to His purpose. In other words, committed to do His will. What do I need to do then if I'm a pessimistic person? Well, Pastor Ron, you know, I don't think that sermon's going to help anybody. Stop it. Quit being pessimistic. I think it's going to help the whole world. That's Pollyannish, but I hope it helps the people in the room. What do I need to do if I'm pessimistic? I need to change my perspective to align with the Bible, okay? Because God is, if I love Him and I'm doing His will, God's working all things according to His will. I need to change my perspective to align with God's character. God's character. Because God loves me. No good thing will He withhold, the Bible says, from them that walk uprightly. Every good and perfect gift cometh down from the Father above, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Practically speaking, I need to look for all the good all the time. Pastor Bonnie, there's nothing good about tomorrow morning. Tomorrow is Monday. And tomorrow morning I have to rise at dark 30. And I have to shake off the sleep, and I have to get up, and I have to take that long commute into work. There's nothing good about that. There's lots good about that. Think what you just said. Number one, you get to get up early. Well, I have to get up early. No, no, you get to. It is a privilege to get up early. And Pastor Monty, you're a morning person. I am a morning person, but it is such a privilege to get up early. Do you know why? There's a lot of people who can't get up early. Check the cemetery. There's a lot of people who can't get up early, okay? It is a privilege to get up. Well, then I have to get out there in my car and ride all that way. It is a privilege to get in your car. Do you know why it's a privilege? Because it's a car. It's not a camel. I mean, go live in the Middle East. What am I saying? I'm saying this. If I look for the good in everything, my perspective changes. It changes dramatically. That's a practical method. Look for all the good all the time. I mentioned this. Keep your expectations low. Keep them low. Boy, life will be filled with all kinds of pleasant surprises. Your expectations, keep them low. And then lastly, develop a heart of gratitude. That really fights pessimism. When I say that I'm thankful, even for the bad things, knowing God is blending them together for good, when I say that I'm thankful for even the bad things, that changes my attitude. It would be a very difficult thing for anyone in this room to be diagnosed with cancer. Ah, Pastor Monty, that's very pessimistic. There's nothing good about that. Except for a few things I could think about. That's not a good diagnosis. How many agree that's not a good diagnosis? It's not a good diagnosis. But you know what is a good thing? Look where you're seated in the United States of America, where you have available cancer treatment that is second to none. So the majority of people in this world, I want you to think with me for a moment, as awful a thing as cancer would be, and I'm not minimizing it, But the majority of people in this world would never have the access to what we have access to. Isn't that something I can be thankful for? In the midst of something that would be very dark, can't I be thankful that we have state-of-the-art technology, which is a prevenient grace from God? That we have state-of-the-art technology and that God can use those things for healing in our lives? Certainly. Here's what I'm suggesting. I'm not suggesting you be a Pollyanna with rose-colored glasses. I'm not suggesting that. But I'm also not suggesting that you be the storm cloud that blows into every room. I've met people, Christian people, with the spiritual gift of discouragement. Don't be that person. Be someone who says, I love God. I'm doing the will of God. Therefore, I am covered by the umbrella of Romans 8:28. And we know. I love those words, right? And we know that all things work together for good to them who love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Should I be pessimistic? Not with that knowledge, because no matter what it is, it's going to turn out good if I love God and if I walk in his will. Father, I pray you'll take the message tonight. Holy Spirit, I pray that you'll help us to look at our Bibles in a light that indicates it's a love letter from heaven, written for our good, that it is a pathway for umbrella protection, that both the good and the bad in our lives can blend together with the ultimate purpose of good. Help us, Lord, to see that. Father, in a very dark world with a lot of negativity that swirls around us all the time, Father, there's a temptation, a tendency to sink into that negativity. But I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll help us right now to understand that the things that are around us, maybe the things that we're struggling with right now, there are positive aspects in them that we've simply refused to see. Oh, there's problems. This is a broken world with broken people. But Lord, there are positive aspects. We are surrounded by positive things if we will open our eyes enough to see. Spirit of God, please open our eyes. Make our view biblical. Make it positive because we love you, we're in your will, and we're obeying your word. We pray in Jesus' name.